Welcome to the LDS EHE Audio Library. This presentation was recorded before a live audience at the 2009 Home Education Conference held at Southern Virginia University in Buena Vista, Virginia.
You guys, we're excited to be with you. Now, the message that we've got for you today doesn't just come from me, because if I'm talking to you as somebody who's not so close to your generation, then the message can kind of be misunderstood. But I brought Russell with me specifically because you need to know that this is a message that's coming not just from a dad, but also from a son. Not just from an old person, but also from a young person. And with that in mind, we want to talk to you a little bit about technology. Okay, this is going to be a test. How many of you remember? Now, I don't know. Some of you may not remember. We might get to a point where you don't even have any memory of these things. But how many know what I'm talking about when I say records? Okay. How many know what I'm talking about when I say 45s? Do you know what I'm talking about when I say reel-to-reel? Reel-to-reel tapes. Do you know what I'm talking about? How many know what a cassette tape is? Okay. How about an 8-track tape? Do you still remember that? Okay. How many remember something called a typewriter? All right. How many remember, all right, this is really going to push you back. How many remember a personal computer before internet? Do you remember that? Do you remember? Yeah, a personal computer before you had an internet connection. All right, think back. Do you have any memory of life without microwaves?
No.
See, isn't that funny? All the adults just raised their hand. They remember. See, all of a sudden a microwave is a necessity in our lives. And yet centuries went by without microwaves and they were just fine. So it's interesting. All right, take a look at this one. Do you remember or have you ever seen a black and white TV?
Yes.
Kate, do you have any idea what a TV antenna is? Okay, yeah, it's funny. They used to have these little antennas on top of the TV and you'd adjust them to get the signal. And some people would stand there and hold the antennas to get the signal while everybody else watched the TV. Yeah, you guys don't know how far we've come. Now this is really going to stretch you. How many remember letters and stamps? Yeah, long before texting, long before email. My dad, when he was on his mission in Tahiti, it took 9 months for a letter to arrive from his parents. 9 months for a letter to arrive by boat. When I was on my first mission to Chile, it took just over a month for me to get a letter from home or for them to get a letter from me. Just over a month. When Russell was on his mission in Spain, we were able to email him and he could get a letter that very same day. Look how far we've come. How many remember what we had before we had touch tone phones? Does anybody remember? Yeah, a rotary dial. Yeah, my son saw one the other day, not Russell, but David. He's like, what the heck is that? You'd put your finger in and pull it around. You'd pull it around. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay, a rotary dial phone. Okay, now here's one that's kind of tricky because right now that's a real popular movie. But how many remember the TV show Star Trek? Okay, Star Trek. Long before it was movies, it was a TV show. And they had a little thing called a communicator. Does that ring any bells? And they'd flip this little thing open and they'd be able to talk to each other with this little device. And they would be able to open that up, and they could talk to the spaceship from the planet's surface and the whole thing. I remember watching the TV show when it was on TV. My grandma's watching it with us. She sees them talking in this little communicator, and she says, Oh, that is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. She says, it doesn't even have a cord. She couldn't understand how something could work, how you could talk to somebody without having even a cord that's carrying that sound. Now, how many people know what a communicator is? Do you realize that now the prop, the Star Trek prop, you can go on auctions and you can buy one of the little communicators that they used in the TV show, and it would cost you thousands of dollars. You can buy a cell phone, an actual functioning working cell phone. It's not just a prop that doesn't even work. It's a functioning cell phone, and you can buy it for way less, you know, for almost nothing compared. The prop of a communicator actually sells for way more than a functioning cell phone. So it's kind of interesting how the future, their fantasy, has become our reality. And cell phones really are remarkable things if you think about it. Without a cord, without a line, we can communicate with anyone clear across the world. Clear across the world.
Now, some of you guys might have a hard time envisioning, because I don't know if at your home school you have 50s days or 60s days, but when I went to high school, we'd have our 50s days and our 60s days and 70s days, and we'd go dressed up in our jeans rolled up and our white t-shirts, and we thought it was so fun. Then 70s days would come, and I'd just go to my dad's closet.
And you look really good.
But we'd just go dressed up like that. And man, the other day I was thinking, our kids, they're going to have turn of the century days. Man, and can you imagine what they're going to dress up like for the turn of the century days?
They're going to dress up like you.
I mean, they're going to go.
They're going to say, Mom, how did you ever dare go out in public looking like that?
But I'm going to bet right now, they're going to go with a cell phone on this ear and a cell phone on this ear and a cell phone on their pocket and iPods all over the place. And that's how they're going to remember our generation. Because that's just kind of how we're defined with the iPods and the cell phones. And that's just kind of how life is defined right now. But I tell you, here's some statistics that are going to blow your mind away. 63% of Americans between 18 and 27 text regularly. Okay. 47% of high school age students, reported texting 1 to 4 hours daily. Okay. 6% said they texted 7 or more hours every day. In June of 2000, so not that long ago, in America, just here in America, there were 12 million text messages sent. A year later, June of 2001, 33 million. June of 2002 goes by 10 to 330 million. Okay, 7 years ago.
33 million to 330 million in 1 year.
June of 2003, and this is just in America, 1.2 billion text messages sent. 2004, 2.8 billion. 2005, 7.2 billion. Just in this 1 month here in America. In 2006, it was almost 12 billion text messages sent.
That's in 1 month. 1 month.
2007, 24 billion. Okay? And the statistics haven't been released for 2008 yet, but I'm sure it's jumping up from there. And I mean, how crazy that here in 7-8 years, we went from 12 million to over 24 billion. Did you?
Probably.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But here, listen to this. In Asia, just in Asia alone, there's 3,000 new cell phone contracts every 5 minutes. Every 5 minutes, 3,000 new cell phone contracts. There is now one cell phone for every 2 humans on Earth. There's over 3.3 billion cell phones throughout the world. In England, there are more cell phones than people. Okay? That means people have 2, 3, 4 cell phones. More cell phones than people in England. Okay, a little closer to home. I have a cousin who just recently graduated from high school. In 1 month, she sent and received 12,000 text messages. And you might be thinking, I do that in half a month. But man, it just blew me away. And I decided I wanted to break it down. And that means that it broke down to 400 a day. And if you take 16 waking hours in a day, that was 25 text messages sent and received an hour, which means that every 2.4 minutes, all day, every day, for an entire month, she was either sending or receiving a text message. Man, can you believe it? It's just my sister will cut her hair, and she'll be getting her hair cut, and she'll have the little apron over, and she'll just be down there sending text messages the whole time. I say, how can you do that? You can't even see what you're doing. But, it doesn't matter. And she'll just sit there and just while she's getting her hair cut, she'll just be sending text messages. And it just blows my mind. I wanted to read scripture here in Genesis. Because like all communication tools, texting and cell phones can be a very positive thing. But they can also become a negative thing in our life if we let them.
11.
So Genesis 11:7. If you have your scriptures, you can follow along. But this is back with the Tower of Babel, in the times of the Tower of Babel. And the people are building the Tower of Babel to get up to heaven, and God isn't very pleased. He's not feeling super happy about this. So listen to what God decides to do. He says, go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So I think it's interesting when God says, hey, I don't want this Tower of Babel to keep progressing. I want to stop the people's progression. What does he do? He stops their communication. Because as soon as communication stops, progress stops. And that can be for bad or good.
Yes, so how can we let our communication, these tools of communication, like a cell phone, help us in our progress instead of holding us back in our progress? First, let's take a look at some pros and cons. I mean, obviously, there's some pros to cell phones. They're a wonderful tool for the hearing impaired. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but texting is an incredible way for the hearing impaired to communicate where they couldn't do it by a regular telephone.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of fun sometimes on your birthday or on a day just to get a little text message that says, hey, I'm thinking about you, how are you doing? And it can be kind of fun.
I love the fact that in an emergency or if there's an accident on a road, boy, everybody can pull out their cell phone, they can get help immediately. Whereas before, you had to wait until somebody else came driving down the road and they had to drive to a town and get help. Now you can just do it instantly with cell phones. That's a real positive.
Yeah. And believe it or not, a lot of jobs and companies are now requiring text messaging. They're using text messaging as a tool within their company to help them progress. So it can be something you need to know for that.
But along with being positive, texting and cell phones can have some negative aspects too. It's very expensive, it's very addictive, and it can be offensive too. So let's think about expensive. Do you realize how much you're spending when you text?
Most everyone now has unlimited plans for texting, but before the unlimited plan existed, I mean, you'd be paying 10 cents for every text you sent and every text you received, and you'd get a bill in the mail, and you're thinking, oh my gosh.
Once my cousin thought that they had a texting unlimited plan, and they could text for 10 cents, and they were like, $300.
Audrey says that her cousin was thinking they had an unlimited texting plan, and when they got their bill, they were spending over $300 on the texting that they had done.
Yeah. Now,
the same thing happened with the people that set the world records for most texts sent in a month. And he got the bill, and it was $26,000.
Wow. He says the guy that won the record for having the most texts in a month didn't realize that he didn't have an unlimited plan, and he got a bill for $26,000. Oh my gosh, that is amazing. So yeah, it does get expensive.
If you were to send, with the price of text messaging as it is today, if you were to send the same amount of information that would cost $1 over the internet, which is just a huge amount of information you could send over the internet for about $1, it would cost you over $61 million to do that same amount of information through text messaging.
Now, along with being expensive, it's also very addictive. People show the same signs with a cell phone that they show with any addictive behavior. Listen to these. One, a high or a sense of euphoria when they're using it. An increased need to use it. And anger or irritability if it's denied. You can't bring your cell phone to girls' camp. Do you start seeing? Honey, give me your cell phone during sacrament meeting. See, that's an addictive. You start seeing how it's become very addictive. Russell has a friend who went on a date, and
it was kind of funny because he goes on this date with this girl. He's been excited to take her out on a date. The whole date, she's text messaging. Whole date. I mean, they're at dinner, they're doing all this, and she's just text messaging the entire time. And he even asked her during dinner, he said, would you mind putting your phone away so we could just kind of enjoy being together? And no, I mean, she just kept text messaging. Finally, at the end of the day, he's kind of upset. He walks her to the door, just, all right, you know, see, gets back in the car. After he's in the car, after she's gone inside, she sends him a text message. Says, oh, are you feeling mad at me? I feel like you're upset. He's like, come on. She couldn't even talk to him the whole date. And then at the end, when she realized he wasn't very happy, she sent him a text message. She couldn't even confront him right there.
It's time consuming. You don't have to to say that it's addictive, you don't have to go beyond the fact that it's taking so much time. I see people at BYU, they walk across campus, and the whole time they're texting. In classes, they're texting. Even during church, during the sacrament. You guys have no idea how quiet a student ward is. I have a stake right now that has 9 student wards. There are no high priests, there's no babies, it's just quiet during the sacrament. And yet, you'll hear people texting. You'll hear the little clicks. You'll hear people's cell phones go off. One girl had her cell phone go off during the sacrament, and she answered it. During the sacrament, she answers it. Boy, that tells me that it's become addictive.
Have you ever seen someone driving while texting?
That's a little scary.
Yeah, and they're just swerving in and out, and it's scary. And people are texting while they're walking all around BYU campus. I mean, everyone is just on their cell phone. I read the other day on the internet that in London, they're actually putting pads around the street lamp posts because there's been so many accidents. Can you imagine?
It's true. Now, along with being expensive and addictive, texting can be offensive. In a study of 1,500 high school students, 73% said that they had cell phones, 23% said that they received offensive or abusive texts, 50%, almost 50%, admitted to sending offensive or abusive texts, and nearly all of them admitted to cheating in school by using texting. And so that can be offensive. Along with that, now a lot of people are sending inappropriate pictures, pornography, through their cell phones. Not just pornography of somebody else, but pornography of themselves or their friends. At a sleepover, they'll be thinking they're fooling around and they'll take pictures of each other naked. And then they put those on their cell phones and send them all around the school. Now that's offensive. And that means this very good communications tool is being used inappropriately. Do you realize that a lot of the money that backed cell phone research came from the pornography industry? We had a friend who told us, and he's in the phone industry, and he said that much of the research money that backed the development of cell phones came from porn, because they knew that this would be a new avenue for them to be able to disseminate their material and to build their businesses. And sure enough, what's happened? The cell phones are now being used for exactly that. So with those things in mind, we've identified a few problems that can be created, and we're proposing a few little solutions for you to keep in mind so that we can keep texting from taking over. Now, we want to talk not now we're not going to talk in grown-up language. We're going to talk in teenage language. And we're going to talk in drive-through language. This is language you understand. Small, medium, large. All right? Now, a small problem is that texting creates a false sense of security, a false sense of belonging. That's not a big problem, but it is a small one.
Have you ever noticed that sometimes through texting you or maybe some of your friends feel a lot safer to type things that you would never say in real life? I mean, just like a driver in a car who gets a little road rage and he's yelling and screaming, but if he were to talk to that person face to face, he'd be a lot more subdued. I had a teacher in college that he'd just write some mean things on some of my papers, and I'd just read them and be like, oh my gosh, you know, get offended. But then I'd go talk to him in his office, and he was always a lot nicer and a lot more tactful. I mean, texting can be dangerous because you feel safe to say things that you would never say in real life.
Now, along with a false sense of security, texting gives an illusion of popularity. Because you're texting, you think you've got all these friends. You think you're really popular. But in reality, the texting never allows for any kind of depth of friendship. So while you may have a lot of acquaintances, your actual social circle is shrinking. It's not expanding. And the very tool that's supposed to be putting us in touch with all these people is actually closing us off. And it's keeping us in a smaller world. It should be expanding our horizons, and instead it's isolating us. So what's a small solution? Well, dive in. Engage in the real world. Don't spend your whole life with technology. Spend your life with real world, real people. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I have a friend who goes to Disneyland with her family, happiest place on earth, but she spends the whole time texting. And after, she told me, she said, man, I just realized how stupid it was that here, right before I go on my mission, I'm just texting here in Disneyland, not focusing on my family, not spending time hanging out with Mickey Mouse. I mean, she just was just worried so much about her boyfriend and texting and, oh, he hasn't sent me a text for 5 minutes. Oh, I'm going to die, you know.
I was coaching a little league basketball team, and at the end, they got to go to a professional game. So that was their big reward. I was so excited that they would be able to sit there in the big arena in Salt Lake, and they'd be able to see these professional ball players. I looked over, and all these boys are sitting there with their cell phones, playing games, texting, and I'm thinking, hello? You're not watching this on TV. This is a real game. These are real players. You are within yards of professional basketball players. Man, get your eyes out of the cell phone, out of the Game Boy, and put your eyes on the real game. I mean, don't sit there and play a fake game. Watch the real game. And that's what we're talking about, is diving in, engaging in real life. Plan some fun activities. When you get together, don't just spend your whole time watching a video. Get out and make a video. Don't spend your whole time watching other people play. You get out and you be the one that's playing. I mean, do you realize one day you're going to be in a rest home? You're going to be in a rest home. Your grandkids are going to come visit you. They're going to say, man, Grandpa, what did you do in the good old days? You're going to say, oh, we'd watch a video. No, Grandpa, we're talking about when you really wanted to have fun. Oh, we'd watch two. Come on, you're going to be the boringest grandparents in the whole rest home. Come on, make some memories, do some fun things. I've seen kids have all kinds of fun. I saw some teenagers play a water baseball game once, and it just cracked me up. First base was a pool they had to sit in. Second base was a pool. Third base was a little wading pool. And then home was a slip and slide. I watched a big youth conference come onto BYU campus, and they played a little game that you may have heard of. I'd never heard of it. It's called Bigger or Better. And they gave them all a toothpick, and each group had to go door to door and say, do you have anything bigger or better than this? Well, then somebody would give them a tin can or something, and they'd go to the next house and say, do you have anything bigger or better than this? Well, then by the end of the night, they're supposed to bring their things back and see which group got the biggest or best thing. You wouldn't believe the trash these guys are dragging up onto BYU campus. One group had a motorcycle. One group had a swing set. They're dragging this rusted swing set. They're like, we win, we win, we win. And one group had, no lie, a family. Mom, dad, sisters, brothers, baby. We won, we won, we won. Now that's making memories, man. Russell was a creative little dater. One time he got his mom worked in the hospital. She was a nurse in the same day surgery unit. One time Russell says to his mom, Mom, we want to eat in the surgery center. His mom's like, I don't even think that's legal. And he's like, no, just check. Debbie checks with her head nurse. She says, oh, that'd be great. You know, they could come. We could set it up. So they bring these girls blindfolded to the surgery center. And they sit down, and the girls are all like, this is so cool, this is so cool, you know, we're going to eat in the hospital. And then my wife comes out in her nurse's uniform, and she's going to be the waitress, and all of a sudden she starts prepping their arms. And she wheels out these IV bottles. Well, all the girls aren't laughing anymore. All the girls are freaking out. They're like, what is going on? And Russell's just as cool as can be. He says, you've heard of TV dinners. Well, these are IV dinners. This way we can eat a nice meal and we don't have to worry about getting anything stuck in our teeth. Boy, then the girls about passed out. And then my wife took the IV bottles away and she brought out their food and they ate their food and they took off on their way. But that's a memory. Man, when he's in a rest home, he's going to have something to talk about. That's making a memory, and that's what we're talking about. So, dive in. Get involved in a real world. Now, a medium-sized problem is that it really develops poor communication skills. Actually, these communication tools are building poor communication skills.
It kind of blew my mind. On BYU campus, I was a student there for a year and a half, and really, probably less than five people said hi to me without me saying hi to them first. I just couldn't believe that here, for a year and a half, everyone's so involved in their texting, and they just have so few communication skills that they can't even say, hi, how are ya, as they walk across campus.
Hi.
Yeah, you know, you get so busy worried about people who are out there that you forget to pay attention to the people who are right here. How many have done what he just did? How many have ever said hi to a stranger? Good. How many have ever had that person freak out? Yeah. Oh my gosh, all you do is say hi and they're like, I say hi to little kids in the grocery store and their moms start gathering them around, you know. You guys, that is what you've got to be able to do. I walk across BYU campus and I say hi. I don't care if I know the person. I say hi, 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 hi. Usually they think that I am hi because I just say hi. And if they're listening to their iPod or they're playing on their cell phones or they're texting somebody or they're looking down, I don't let them get away with it. I go like this. Hi! And then they usually laugh, just like you just did, because they realize how silly it is that they're so focused on somebody who's clear across the country, and they're not paying attention to the people who are right there in front of them. Now, listen to what L. Tom Perry says. Elder Perry says, more and more, young people are isolating themselves from others by playing video games, wearing headphones, and interacting through cell phones, email, text messaging, and so on, instead of in person. Now, listen closely. Most missionary work involves relating face-to-face with people. Now, in just a minute, we're going to have the full-time missionaries come up and share their testimonies with you. They're sitting right here in the back of the room. One boy said to me, I like texting because it develops hand-eye coordination. You're laughing because you've said the same thing. Well, guess what? When you're a full-time missionary, you don't need hand-eye coordination. You need hand, shaking somebody's hand, eye coordination. That's the kind of hand-eye movement that you need to be worrying about. Interacting with other people. So, a small concern is that a medium concern is that it develops poor communication skills. And a medium solution is just text in private.
I went into a friend's house one time. It was a new friend. We just met, and she invited me over to her house, and I walked in, and there was a whole bunch of people in there. Every single one of them was texting. And at first, I thought, wow, you know, that's kind of funny that they're all hanging out as friends, but rather than talking to each other, they're all just texting their own friends who aren't even there. And then after 5-10 minutes, when no one even said hi or acknowledged I'd walked in, I thought, wow, that's really stupid that none of them are even taking the time to say hi or meet someone they've never met before because they were all so worried about texting their friends who were somewhere else.
See, a lot of people don't think it as rude to be texting when they're listening because they think I can do two things at the same time. But they're actually sending two messages. One, that they're texting to their friend, and the other message is what they're sending to everybody around them that says, I don't care about you. So you're not just sending one text. When you text in public, you're sending two messages. One to the person you're reaching through the cell phone and one to everybody else around you. And you have to really wonder whether that's the message you want to send.
I always appreciated my mission president because when we'd be in an interview or when we'd be doing something with him, he'd just put his cell phone on silent. And he wouldn't even worry about answering it at all because he'd say, hey, when I'm with you, you're my priority. You're the one I'm focusing on. And I always just really appreciated that and loved it because I knew he cared about me. And it's the same way. I mean, when we're in church, church needs to be our priority. When we're with our family, family needs to be our priority. When we're with our friends need to be our priority. Not our cell phone or someone who's not there. We just need to focus on people because people are the what need to be important in our lives.
Okay, now the final large problem with a large solution is that texting is actually a detached and emotionless activity. It's one thing to talk about people skills, say hi, have the courage to start a conversation with somebody. That's one skill. It's another skill to be able to really care about people, care about somebody who's out there. Missionaries need to learn how to talk to strangers, but even more importantly, they need to learn how to care and see that person, that stranger, as a potential member of the church, as a brother or a sister. That's the kind of emotion that it takes. You have to be able to dive in and you have to be able to make that investment. You guys know enough about finances to know that if you don't make an investment, you're not making a withdrawal. And it's the same thing with relationships with people. Where there's little investment, as in cell phone communication, there's little to withdraw. You've got to make a bigger investment so that you can make a bigger withdrawal.
For example, when a girl can get a text from her family home evening group leader that says, hey, I'm so excited for family home evening tonight and to see ya. Then later that same day, she sees him walking across campus, doesn't even acknowledge her or say hi. It kind of loses something.
I've heard of people breaking up through a text message. I went to a dance one time, and this guy texted this girl across the room to ask her to dance with him. And I was thinking, come on, that's about as detached and emotionless as it can be. You've got to have the chance, you've got to have the courage to invest a little bit more in people. So what's a big solution? Dare to discover people. Dive in. Don't be afraid to invest in others. A lot of people hang back and say, oh, that's just not me, that's just not me. You guys, it has been us. We lived in a pre-existence where we interacted with each other beautifully. Sometimes here, in this world, we've gotten hurt so many times that we step back and we stop investing. But missionaries know they've got to throw their whole heart and soul into those investigators. They can't sit back and hope that they don't get hurt. Mother Teresa said, if you love people, you open the door for pain. If you love people, you open the door for hurt. She says, love anyway. Dare to Discover people. Russell, when he was in third grade, wrote a funny little book, and I told him he had to share it. And he was kind of embarrassed, but I said, you have to share it, okay? So we're gonna share this, we'll finish up, and then we're going to ask the missionaries to share their testimonies with us.
So Dare to Discover people. I was the illustrator as well. It says, Columbus dared to discover America. He found lots of great things. Don't ask me why he already has an American flag. John Glenn dared to discover space. He found out it was awesome. But I think one thing people need to discover more is other people. I found out that if you really look hard, you can find out things that are cool about anyone. If someone dared to discover me, they would find out I like animals. And I get to sleep with my dog, even though my dad doesn't like having animals in the house. I love Taz. I love birthdays and holidays. I love sports, especially basketball. I want to be a pro basketball player when I grow up. My mom and dad say they would like that because I could pay for their house. If someone dared to discover my mom, they would find out she likes animals too. She is a lot like me. She is a nurse. She doesn't like it if the house is not clean, and she makes me do chores, but she pays me money. If someone dared to discover my dad, they would actually discover someone who likes school. He likes to read and type at the computer. He lived in Chile. He likes hugging and kissing. And that's okay, except on days when he hasn't shaved. My dad wrestles with the kids in our family. One time, we even buried him with blankets and a mattress. He said that gave him a headache. Discovering a country is good, and discovering space is good too, but discovering people is the best. Yeah.
A large solution to a large problem, dive into people. Really start caring about those around you. Now, I don't know about you, but I know about Russell. Russell has never, ever been happy with small, never been content with medium. He's never even content with large. Russell always has to have the super size. So let's end by talking about a super size problem with a super size solution. The super size problem is that if we're not careful, texting can actually hurt our relationship with God. It can hurt our spirituality. Now listen closely, because I worked really hard on these. God doesn't answer email. He answers knee-mail. He doesn't communicate with us through texting, but through the sacred text of the Scriptures. You've got to make sure that nothing is getting in the way of your relationship with God.
So, a supersized solution is that we focus on the things that matter most. We focus on God. President Hinckley has said one way that we can do that is by pondering. He says, what do we mean by ponder? Well, I think it simply means quietly thinking things through. Ponder what you have read. Ponder your life. Are you worthy? Are you living the commandments? Are you wasting time in fruitless things? You can't do that. You're preparing for eternity. Take an hour or two to ponder how you're doing. Go off by yourself. Do a little scripture reading and think about yourself and your responsibilities. I remember President McKay once said to the 12, "Brethren, we need to ponder more."
Sometimes pondering means that we have to be alone. And in this today's world, it's scary. We don't want to be alone. We always feel like we have to be in connection through the internet, through the cell phones. We always have to be in connected to something. And we don't stop to be alone. Now, in 1 Kings 19, we read about Elijah. And Elijah, the Lord came in the wind. And the Lord came in an earthquake. And the Lord came in the fire. But he didn't see the Lord in the earthquake or the fire or the wind. He finally recognized that when the Lord came to speak, it was with a still small voice. Sometimes I think the earthquakes, the fire, the wind of technology can actually keep us from being able to hear that still small voice. I was directing the EFY that they had in Palmyra a few years ago. And the young people came from all over the country to be able to see the church history sites during their week of EFY. It was a great experience, but at the beginning of the week, I challenged them to please put away their cell phones. I said, don't just not bring them to class, which is what most EFY directors challenge. I said, I want you to just put them away. Turn them into your counselor. Boy, the response I got was amazing. A lot of kids just out and out said, no, I won't do it. One kid came to me and he's like, no, Brother Wilcox, you don't understand. It's like a psychological thing. I have to have my cell phone. I sleep with it. I said, whoa. I said, I used to use a teddy bear. All right. It was amazing to see how what a struggle it was for those young people to give up that cell phone for just a few days. It was so hard for them. And yet, those that took the challenge found out why I asked them to do it. They were able to focus on the incredible experience they were having without always having to be touching base with all the other experiences in their life. And because they could focus, because they could ponder, because they could think about it, it opened the door for some remarkable spiritual experiences. One girl at the end of the week stood up and she said, when Brother Wilcox challenged us to put away our cell phones, I really didn't know whether I could do it. But she says, I finally decided I'd take him up on the challenge. I figured I could do anything for a week. She says, now, at the end of the week, I realized that if Joseph Smith had had a cell phone, we may never have had the restoration. He would never have had time to ponder, never have had time to read, never have had time to pray. She said, if Joseph Smith had had a cell phone, we may never have had the restoration. So young people, don't let anything get in the way of your relationship to God. Think about it. Keep Him most important. Make sure that you are focusing on Him first and keeping Him as a priority in your life. Now, before we conclude with our testimonies, we wanted you to have the chance to hear from 4 full-time missionaries who are serving right here in Buena Vista. We'd like to ask each of them to share their testimonies, to be able to tell you what they wish they would have known when they were young people preparing for their missions. And we may be just a little bit late as we go to lunch, but don't panic. That'll give everybody a chance to get in there so you don't have to wait in the line. Pardon?
We have to wait 15 minutes.
Oh, she said we have to wait a few minutes anyway. Good. Well, then we might as well wait listening to our missionaries. Elders, take a few minutes each and share your testimonies, and then Russell and I will conclude with our testimonies.
Probably the first time that's happened, and I'm going to bear my testimony. So, some of the things I wish I would have known before when I was preparing for a mission, I wish I would have known how important it is to serve a mission. We all know it's a commandment to serve the Lord, to serve other people, and I have a true testimony about this gospel. I know that it is our Lord and Savior's work, and that especially for you young people, you know, it's the Lord saved the most valiant for last. And like the introduction page in the Book of Mormon says, we're here to prepare the way for the Savior's second coming. And I want to testify that I know that that's something that all of you have a big part in playing in, is that you got to help with that. And that's something that I'm glad to be able to help with as well, is to prepare the way for our Savior. I know that Joseph Smith saw, he really did see our Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ, and that he spoke to them. And that through that we have the gospel that we have today. It's truly a miracle, and I'm grateful for this gospel, and I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let's hold on the clapping now until we're finished up.
Okay. All right. My name's Elder Wilson. As missionaries, we are asked to give up cell phones, give up friends, give up family, give up where we live. We're asked to give up a lot. Before my mission, I was the one out there texting, having the fun on the phone, everything like that. But since I've been on my mission, I've realized that with those distractions that we have in our lives, we can't feel the Spirit as often as we could if we weren't to have those there. The Spirit is something that I'm really grateful for. That's how we teach. We're asked to use the Spirit. We're guided by it. We're directed by it each and every day. And I know that this church is true. And as we strive to live the principles of the gospel, and as we leave those distractions maybe at home or try not to use them as much, we'll be more open to that guidance in our life from the Spirit. And I know that our Savior Jesus Christ atoned for our sins, each and every one of us. And I'd like to leave that with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, this is probably the most unique opportunity I've had to bear my testimony yet. Never been applauded, kind of like my companion said. It's getting kind of weird, but it's okay. What I wish I would have known before I came out on my mission was how much this gospel can bless a family. I have a strong testimony of that because it's kept my family together. It's because of this gospel and the things contained in the Bible and the Book of Mormon and through living prophets why my family is still together. I know that a family built upon this gospel is the only way that a family can have a fighting chance in the world today. And as missionaries, we get to go out and talk to people about that every single day. Everybody wants their family to be strong. Everybody wants their family to be better. And this is the way to do it. This is the way that we can achieve that. And I'm so grateful for that and for the things that this restoration of the gospel has brought to the earth. That families not only are here on the earth, but we can have them in the eternities. And I know that this gospel is true. It's taken me a while to come to that conclusion, but I know that it is. Joseph Smith saw what he said he saw. He did see God the Father in Jesus Christ. And through him, Jesus Christ's church was restored to the earth today. I can't tell you guys the joy that I feel from being able to share the gospel. It took a lot. I had to give up some things, my cell phone included. I went through withdrawals through about a week in the MTC, but it's all good now. But I know that this is true. And because I know that, I want other people to know it. And I know that Jesus Christ is our Savior, and I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So who here wants to serve a mission? Raise your hand. That's what I like to see. That's awesome. Tell you one thing that I'm glad that I did while I was in high school. I went to seminary all 4 years. I don't know the age group for you guys, but when the time comes, go to seminary, and you have that choice. You know, wake up. For me, I woke up at 5:45 every morning. So that's the choice you're going to have to make. Are you going to do it or are you going to not? And those of you just raise your hand, you want us to remission, I encourage you to make that right choice. Because every day we're faced with decisions. There's always consequences to those the choices you make. I know the gospel does blesses lives. I've seen it bless lives. I've seen the Book of Mormon change people's attitudes about Jesus Christ and about our loving Heavenly Father. The Book of Mormon brings people closer to God. and the Book of Mormon is true. And Joseph Smith translated it by the power of God. Now today we do have a modern prophet, Thomas S. Monson, who leads and guides and directs God's kingdom on the earth. And it's a great blessing. And don't take it for granted. It's a great opportunity to be a missionary. You should look forward to it. It's not the easiest thing in the world, I'll tell you that right now, but it's definitely worth it. But you know, I love my family. I love all my friends that support me. And I love this church. I'm so grateful to be a member of the church. I'm thankful for my testimony, and I had the chance to share it with others. But I do know it's true. That's all I can say. I say that in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Elders, stay here for just a second. Hey, well, thank you so much. Thanks for being here and for listening. And I just love it. I love seeing the missionaries. I loved my mission. I loved teaching at the MTC and teaching the missionaries. There's nothing better. Nothing better than a mission. Nothing better than being able to focus on others, focus on people, watch as they come. I just barely met a kid who served in my same mission where I served in Spain. And he actually, we got talking and we'd served in one of the same wards. And there was a lady there, just the cutest old lady, 80 years old, white temple hair, just the most amazing lady that we had the opportunity to baptize while we were there. And then this guy I was talking to we get talking and find out we know the same people. And he ended up baptizing her grandson. And then he ended up teaching the grandson's mom, her daughter. And I just think, how awesome. Now, 3 years later, that she's able to start bringing her family into the church. And I have never felt so happy in my life. There's never been a text message, never been a phone call, never been an acceptance letter, a scholarship letter. There's never been anything in my life that has brought me the happiness that comes when I hear about these people in my mission who are still going strong in the church, who are still striving to do the things that God wants them to do. And I want to leave my testimony with you that God loves us. He loves us so much, and he loves us just like his sons and daughters, because that's what we are. I know that we are literally his children, and that he wants the best for us, and that when we're struggling, when we're having hardships, that he's going to be there to lift us up, and that he never, ever will give up on us. His arms are going to be outstretched towards us forever, all the time. God always wants the best for us, and he will always keep fighting for us. And I love you guys. I know that God loves you guys, and I hope that you can feel that love of God. And if you haven't felt it recently, pray. Go home and pray tonight, because I know that God loves you. And I leave that testimony with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Latter-day Saint Eastern Home Educators, or to listen to other presentations in the LDS EHE Audio Library, please visit us online at www.ldsehe.org. This recording is copyrighted by LDS EHE. Please do not make copies of this material without written permission.